Okay, good morning, everybody. We'll just have a brief charge or a brief presentation, whichever you want to call it. I had a difficult time titling this. Even right now, I don't know what the title is supposed to be. But you have options. You can either say divinely assured, or we reign, or maybe at the end of the sermon, you can give it a title that you believe I was talking about. Praise God. All right, so are we set? What does Paul say in Philippians 3? For me to say the same thing to you again and again, for me is not what? This is a new year, so I'm expecting people to know my favorite scriptures, just be saying it very, very well. All right, so for me is not what? For you it is good. So repetition is the basis for which we're established in this faith. There's nothing like I've heard this before, or let's move on to higher things. No. Paul said in repetition there is safety for you. And the person that is repeating it is not difficult for the person. So long as the person is not saying we are repeating this too much, it should not be grievous for you either. But rather, accept the safety in repetition. And with that in mind, we just charge ourselves again on something. Not necessarily new things. We just, let's just flow. All right, so have you given it your title? Okay, you can't give it your title until I'm done. Remember in the series, It Makes Me Better? Remember our pastor thought it makes me better? Part 4. And he talked about what overcome it means. Can you remember that? Ah, glory to God. I want to catch them today now. Just people that don't go over their notes. In It Makes Me Better, Part 4, pastor talked about overcome it. And what did he say it means? It's the new year, right? Stop asking all these questions that are designed to know who studies and who does not. Stephen, I don't know why your name is the first name I'm calling this morning. Glory to God. It's a new year. So, Stephen, he that overcometh, what does it mean? You just expose yourself. You're not around. You did not go. You did not borrow the notes. You did not do anything. Sure, you don't. Yeah, that's not an excuse. Yeah. I was not around. It's not an excuse. I was not in church. It's not an excuse. You know, right? Okay. All right. So I'll ask one more person. Who shall bail the cap? Overcometh. But can we even remember that at all in the teaching? See why repetition is necessary? See? Eric Tito. What does overcome it mean? He's begging with his eyes. Okay, so let me continue. Now I'm giving you I know you were not going to remember it. Oh, okay, let me say, I'm pursuing of better things concerning you, right? but I just want to show you the meaning of repetition, why we'll have to take these things and say it again. For some persons, they will need that continuous emphasis for it to be embedded in them. All right, so it said, overcome it is from the Greek word nikao, and it simply means to prevail, conquer, subdue, get the victory, whichever one you can remember. To subdue, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. That word was explained in details there. And we looked at the almost 24 times it was used in the New Testament alone. But I'll just do a summary and move on. Luke 11:22. All right, just look at Luke chapter 11. You know, here we take our notes seriously, so I'm sure everybody, you already have your pen and your book and your Bibles. So let's go. Church is a school. You come here to learn. All right, so Luke 11:21 and 22. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. So Jesus was giving them an illustration that if someone that is strong or someone that is fully armed, for example, we make Eritito the security here, and we give him a stick, and we say, okay, or a baton, whatever you want to call that, strong the hand. It's okay, okay, we give you a gun. And we say, okay, guard this place, because we have glory to God, we have expensive equipment, and bookies, expensive decorations. By faith, they are expensive. So we give him a gun and say, take care of this place. And we are guaranteed, right, that he can take care of it, even though he won't sleep off at night. We know he won't. We are persuaded of better things. But if someone wants to come up and take these things from him, what would the person have to do? Come with what? He has a gun. You come with a bomb. it's just an example. But the person definitely have to come with something stronger, because to assess this place, you have to take the gun from him or make his gun useless or do some Jack Bauer things for him and just knock off the gun or whatever. But you have to, first of all, overcome him to be able to access what he has. That's what Jesus was trying to illustrate. That to subdue a person or to have access to what the person has that is guarding it seriously, you must first of all subdue, overcome any name you want to use, take control. You know those words. So that's just to show you what the meaning of overcome means in that context. So it means to prevail, to conquer, to get the victory over someone. And in summary, we see that in what Christ did for us. The Bible expressly taught us that what God did in Christ is overcoming or conquering what was prevalent at that time, which was sin and death. Okay, so let us see it in Colossians 2. It's just an introduction, so let's be fast. Colossians chapter 2. How God overcame in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. Okay? We say in it, but most times they just put it in himself. All right, so that's what there. You see, to triumphing over there is the same word to conquer or to give the victory. And it means principalities, powers, authorities over whatever was existed at that time, was in existence at that time, every form of authority there, Jesus spoiled it, he overcomed, he triumphed over it, he subdued them, he prevailed over those authorities existing before him. And now he has the full victory. So we see that he, you see other translation, we say he stripped them of their power, he stripped them of their ability to exercise dominion or control. So right now, who has the victory? Who has the victory? Who has the victory? Are you afraid? Who has the victory? Hey, these people, please just stay in context. Eh? Don't run ahead. According to Colossians 2:15, who has the victory? Aha, thank you very much. All right, so Jesus stripped principalities and powers over the ability to exercise dominion, and he has the full authority. Now, this is what Paul kept praying that the church would understand. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. This is still introduction, so I'm trying to... This is what we've said over and over here, so I'm sure we don't have issues with this for now. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, does this look like an expanded version of Colossians 2:15? Yeah. So he's now the head of all principalities, power, everything. Christ is the head of that. He has full dominion and full authority. And it was something that Paul said, I cease not to pray that your eyes will be opened to understand this fact fully. All right, so we see in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. That filled all in all, if you look at it very well from the original translations, it shows like enforcing God's will, trying to make, in making something stand that filled all in. It's like something that is not yet done, but will be done. Do you understand? So that looks like a mandate. That looks like something that we need to do. But let's look at Ephesians 3. Just look at Ephesians 3. Just flip to the next page. You should see that. Ephesians 3:20. I think you should just read that. It's almost a similar thing. Okay, let's just start from verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with mind by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All right, so we see that it's to enforce, there's a will of God that we must enforce and establish on earth, and this will be done according to the power that is at work in us. Now, some persons have said that the believer has power, but it's not every, there's a difference between dunamis that the believer has, and then there is the energio, the working power, the one at work. That energio is the one that is in action. But there's no difference, in quotes. The power is just telling you that the power that you have is at work. You understand? He's always working. Okay, let's read verse 20 again. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That means the power that is in you is what? Working. That is the worketh there in a geo. It is working. Pastor Jira, we always stream this into our head then, that the believer at all time, whether he's sleeping, whether he's awake, whether he's doing anything, has constant power at work. It's not a generator that you need to kickstart and say, ooh, when will this power? If we see the fact that we are not seeing the power at work physically does not mean the power is not working. That's why it says the power working in you. So in your spirit, man, there is power always, always at work by virtue of the dominion that Christ has purchased for us. Always at work. Always. Always. Never forget that. The power that worketh in you. Always at work. But of course, your comprehension of this fact influences what you can do with it. But the power, don't get it wrong, don't get it twisted. That power is always, always at work. You can put always in full bold letters in your book. That power is always at work. So this will, or this mandate will be done according to that power that is at work in us. All right, so in that series, It Makes Me Better, Pastor told us clearly that overcoming in Christianity is a status. Overcoming in Christianity is a status. This is social media generation, so you know what status means. But I don't need to amplify. So it's a status. It's something that you identify yourself with. It is your status. It's not something you try to achieve. It is a status. Okay. Now, why do we say that? Because of what Christ did for us, which we can say fully in salvation, right? Now, because of what we have in Christ through salvation, we'll say that we have overcome already. Is that correct? We have overcome already. So that the victory that Christ purchased is ours already. And we are to pick the confidence of this for our days. As in, you will pick the confidence for your days from the confidence of salvation. I'm reciting exactly as I said it in that series. You will pick the confidence, the strength you need for your days from the confidence of salvation. Showing two separate things now. Talking about salvation and our days. Need confidence and we need to overcome in both. But we'll pick the confidence for our days from the confidence of salvation. Why? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Almost everywhere in scriptures, you will always see the believer's physical victory tied to what has been done spiritually. They always go hand in hand. No one is independent of the other. All right, so 1 Corinthians 15, 54, from verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. All right, so verse 57 and 58, we are going to read it together. Are we there? All right, let's go. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you see the progression of thoughts. Because of what Christ has done here, yeah, God gives us the victory through Christ. What did he now say? Therefore, you must be steadfast, you must be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Showing two separate distinct responsibilities. One tied to salvation and one that is tied to your everyday life. Because of what Christ has done, you know the meaning of therefore. I'm sure we know this. So therefore, my beloved brethren, based on this, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So that is something that the believer must have permanently entrenched in his head. The fact that we have the victory in Christ, and it must not stop there. We use that mindset or that confidence to access every other things we have to deal with in life. Do you understand? Every other thing. All right, let's look at John 16. Just look through some scriptures that just show this fact before we move on. John 16. Okay, John 16, 33. This was one of the sermons Jesus was giving to his disciples before he departed. And verse 33, "Death, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So you see Jesus saying it as clearly as can be. In this world, as long as you are here, you will have tribulation, but you must be of good cheer. That word cheer there is beyond smiling. It's not saying, hey, cheer. It's saying, have courage. Take courage. That's what the word there, in the meaning there is. Take courage. Take courage. You must arm yourself with this truth that Jesus has overcome the world. So your courage will lie in the fact that, but Jesus, are you listening to me? Your courage will lie in the fact that Jesus has overcome the world. So because of that, the challenges in the world, you can overcome it. Romans 8. Romans 8. Wow. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Just showing you scriptures that lay the foundation or point clearly that we are to pick the confidence for our days from what Christ has done. All right, so Romans 8 from verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." So you see Paul putting the same parallel, saying that because of the assurance we have in what Christ has done for us, we are sure that physical things like persecutions, trials, sword, famine, nakedness, whatever it is, cannot stop us. Why? Because we have overwhelming victory. That's how another translation puts that, we are more than conqueror. We have overwhelming victory through Christ. So because of the victory that we have in Christ, we are guaranteed of victory even in our physical world. Now, let's see a scripture that shows us clearly that if we have a responsibility as believers to overcome. You know, many persons, like I was telling, we're discussing our house, we listen to a song, we will overcome by the blood. No, this woman's song. Every high thing must come down, every struggle shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown, you overcome, you overcome. So I said, I was telling them about a discussion I had with somebody some years back, and the person was trying to correct the song that, this song, we should not sing like this. We should say that every high thing has come down, every stronghold has been broken, because you wear the victor's crown. I said, well, that's one way to look at it, but that must not be the only mindset a believer has, and say, that we have won in Christ. The battle has been won. There's no fight anymore, or there's nothing to... We must realize that actually not every stronghold has come down. Okay? If every man is not saved on earth and have come to the knowledge of the truth, it means not every stronghold has come down. Praise God. So we must see ourselves as having a duty to overcome, not just that Christ has done. So this scripture, Romans 12, let's look at Romans 12, shows us clearly that overcoming is also the believer's responsibility. Romans 12. Okay, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what does that show? It shows that there is a tendency for evil to overcome a believer. You see there? So it's a clear, be not overcome with evil, but rather overcome evil with good. So if you do nothing, there is a very clear chance and possibility that you will be overcome by evil. So whose responsibility is there? Who has the responsibility there to overcome? Who? Personalize it now. You. So who has the responsibility? Yeah, exactly. But you say your pastor is overcoming on your behalf. You, as a believer, if you do nothing, it's a conscious effort, then there is a tendency that you will be overcome by evil or something else, because we have a part to play. If we do nothing, evil will dominate. Now, that's what that scripture just shows. So, example of things that the believer still needs to overcome or dominate in life. Should I throw it open before I start hearing things like bachelorhood or singleness? Let me not take chorus answer. Thank you. So, examples of things that the believer still needs to actively dominate or overcome in his everyday walk. One of the things is doubt. Doubt. You see it rearing his head almost at every point in time. No matter how anointed a man can be sometimes, you just see one nonsense just come up in the form of doubt. Are you sure? Are you sure if you do this, it will work? Are you sure if you lay your hands on this person, it's going to actually work? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? You know, are you really sure? Do you think? Are you sure? So doubt is something that a believer must actively dominate or overcome. Also discouragement. Those things will not overcome themselves by themselves. If you do not actively try to overcome these things and put it off and subdue it, it will definitely lay hold on you. Discouragement. I've been doing this, the same process. No, I'm not getting the desired results. I'm not getting what I think I should be getting by now. Discouragement. Very easy. Another thing, afflictions, of course, in any form, whether sickness, whether affliction, whatever just physically limits your ability to do things, that's something the believer must actively overcome. Because if it says nothing or if it does nothing, it will definitely dominate him. Persecutions or trials, that is a lot for a person, especially for persons who have devoted themselves to active ministry. You are definitely going to see it. Persecutions, trials, coming in whatever forms, whether it is in form of your previous church, that you pay persons that you have closed, even family members. What are you saying? Are you now saying that you know more than us? How can you be doing this? Okay, we'll not give you allowance for next month so that it will teach you a lesson. We'll know how you are. We've seen a lot of cases like that. You see somebody becomes a Christian and then the Muslim parents say, okay, I am no longer sponsoring you, expecting that will bring the person to his knees and come back running. Or, of course, going to preach the gospel in war-torn areas or crisis-ridden places. And then you're just seeing different trials and persecutions people face for their faith. And those, these kind of things might be alien to some of you because You know, nobody harasses you because of your faith. You're just doing the cool boy Christianity, like Henry Tito. We just love the Lord. We just love the Lord. No stress. We don't need to stress ourselves. You know, you just meet somebody, the person say, I beg, don't talk to me about the faith. Okay, good, we're good. Don't worry. You don't, no problem, no quarrel. No, chill, man, chill. I know. This is word from knowledge. I am aware. So when you have that kind of attitude towards Christianity, of course, persecution and trials will be what? Very far from you. Because that's what you're trying to avoid. You're not so loud. People might even believe the gospel. They know the full truth. And then they will sit down in their father's churches. And then they will, feet washing, they will come out just to wash their feet. Let's not cause problem. No, it's not. They say they want to cut off your leg. No, they just want to wash your feet. Go and wash it. You know, the communion, come out. You know, the olive oil, you come out. You just don't want to cause trouble. Let's just flow. The Lord is in us. You see the witness after people who say, I have deliberately hacked him. But anyway, praise God. He has declared his own self by himself. All right, so we see persecution trials are things that the believer must actively seek to dominate or overcome. And demonic oppressions in whatever form, it happens to certain persons that yield themselves to that. That's why we say if you don't overcome or if you just yield yourself, a believer's life can just be a playground for the devil. I don't know how many of us remember that sermon Brother Joshua taught us last year, give no place to the devil, meaning that you are the one that can give the devil cheap victory, that he did not fight. You know, right now, any victory that the devil is having over a believer, that is a very cheap victory because the believer is the one that handed it over to him, say, come and take. And that message, give no place, it simply means, as in, once the devil can push you 1 yard, he has taken it over. But the funny thing where we miss it most times is the fact that we think that, okay, when we say give no place to the devil, we are actively expecting a surrendering. And say, okay, oh, by giving no place to the devil means I said, devil, okay, take charge or take charge of this area. But the way we give the place to the devil most times is in indifference. I think we saw that in healing 109 or 108. No, 109. Indifference. When you do not actively speak things, because there is actually no vacuum in, okay, let's see Luke. This is the book of Luke. There is nothing called a vacuum in spiritual things. Luke 11. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Luke 11:24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he said, I will return unto my house. See that? See the confidence. My house. Okay? I will return unto my house, whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So we see that there is no middle ground. There's nothing like passivity. There's nothing like, I am not zealous the way this, but I might not be going out to actively communicate my faith, but I'm also not speaking against Christ. So I just celebrate the Lord. What are you doing in this category? That's passivity. So there's nothing like, once you become passive, you just give the devil a chance to be very active on your behalf. That's just it. Because there's nothing like nobody's doing anything. Nah. The devil is very, very active on your behalf. You have delegated him. I say, okay, take charge. That is the meaning of that. So there is no middle ground. There is no empty spaces. There are no vacuum. There's no void. If, just like saying, you can't serve 2 masters. You are either serving God or you are serving the devil through any form, whether mammon, pleasure, whatever, you are serving one. You are not actively serving God. You are actively serving the devil. The devil is actively serving himself through you, whichever one. If you are not overcoming, the devil is what? Overcoming you. Do you understand? That is why the believer must actively, consciously seek to gain dominion in every area of their lives. One particular area there is conduct. conduct. I'm saved, yes. But that's also, it makes me better. And I think when you're alone, conduct. Your conduct must reflect who you are in Christ. You must not say, this is the way I have been. Or this is the way everybody knows me as this. Once you see that whatever you are manifesting is not reflected in the fruit of the Spirit, you obviously know that the devil has gotten dominion over you in that area. That is why people struggle with addictions. I just can't control myself. I can't help it. I just have to do it. There is no believer that has that excuse. No believer. A believer that sins cannot say, I could not help it. You did it. You did it. Because in your conduct, you have to actively overcome. Otherwise, the devil will overcome you fully. So, these are areas just different. Even in ministry. I'm not getting the intended result. I'm not getting what I really desire. I'm not getting results when I lay hands. Whose fault is it? Will you blame God? Is it God? Is it that maybe God, the devil, or yourself? So which other third party? Or you blame my daughter? That in somebody must be blamed. That equation. There is, I'm not getting the result, and then you just you must be actively, as in. That is, because this is a New Year sermon. Actively ensuring that you are having dominion in every single area. In conduct, in ministry, over personal challenges, over health. I've seen persons that say, okay, this headache is normal. It's just there. It's just headache. I'm used to it when it comes. I just take the at least once every twice every month on the second week and on the Friday of the third week. I'm expecting it. Michelle, you are giving yourself the full dominion of the devil. So the believer must reject that. You must realize that you are either triumphing in life or you are being defeated. You are either triumphing or you are being defeated. You are either triumphing or you are being defeated. There is no middle ground. It's right like that. You are either triumphing or you are being defeated. Say it again. You are either triumphing or you are being defeated. You can either say, yes, in this area, I have gained the mastery. In the gifts of the Spirit, I have gained the mastery. In my conduct, I have gained the mastery. In overcoming doubt, fear, depression, this one, I have gained the mastery. If you cannot say that, then you are obviously being defeated. It's not like there's no middle ground. It's here or there. Why do we have to emphasize this? Why is it necessary to ensure that we gain the mastery or we overcome all these tiny areas we're talking about? Why do we keep saying you must not give a place to the devil? Because the believer has an assignment. The believer has an assignment. An urgent assignment, if you can write it like that. The believer has an assignment. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Believer has an assignment, so he does not have the luxury of defeat. He does not have that luxury of being defeated in personal areas and physical challenges. He doesn't have that luxury. He has an assignment that he must fulfill. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Are we there? We read this together. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Why is it necessary that we must exercise dominion fully in every area? All right, so are we there? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Let's go. Now, thanks be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, you see the distinction. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. And through us, he's making known the savour of his knowledge. He's diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge. Talking about the assignment that we have to do. So, you have been given this authority. You have been given full dominion in Christ by his Spirit in your inner man so that you can do what you need to be done. The believer has an assignment. Something that must be done. So he cannot afford to be defeated in physical things. I wish it was easy to just say, okay, we have spiritual victory and dominion. Let's just relax. But we cannot do that. We cannot do that. 2 Corinthians 10. Same 2 Corinthians, just go to chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So there is a war we wage daily as believers. Whether you recognize it or not, there is an active war we are involved in. It's called bringing every thought to the knowledge of Christ. It is active. As long as there's still somebody beside you, there's still a neighbor beside you, there's still somebody that does not actively believe that Christ died for his sins and was resurrected again for him, and that through him, he has full assurance of salvation. So long as that person has not believed that, there is still a war we are waging. So we cannot afford to lose ground. We cannot afford it. We can't. Our physical dominion enables us to fully exercise the dominion that we have in Christ. Because most times, it's difficult for persons weighed down with different challenges, whether in conduct or in addictions. Or I don't want to call it addictions, because right now, addiction to anything is your choice. I just said before that nobody can say, I could not control myself, Abi. So whether you say I'm addicted to this one, or I just don't, if you just give me 1 month, I'll go, you could not control yourself. You could not control yourself. So in exercising this year, we know we have a lot of targets. This is so that we can know that there is no excuse. If you don't meet the target of the 300 souls, who is to blame? Who is to blame? Will you say, it's because we're in a Muslim community? If we were in Lagos, it would have been easier. Is that an excuse? Not. It's not. There is an ability of the believer or a gift of God that I have realized that we do not fully use. Second Timothy. Believer that must have all-round dominion and must exercise dominion in every area of his life must maximize this gift of God. 2 Timothy 1, 7. We read it together. Are we there? All right, let's go. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind there means moderation, discipline, self-control. That's what it means. So, God gave us the Spirit at salvation. Is there any man that can say, I'm born again, I don't have the Holy Ghost? No. And that is all, we know qualification on the supernatural ministry, if you can remember that. That is all we need for everything. To walk in love, for wisdom, for direction, for power. What else? Whatever. It is the full package of the Holy Ghost. To know what to do, to manifest the gifts, anything at all. I'm here to see an area in Christianity that can be done independent of the Holy Ghost. But unfortunately, many of us relegate that gift of God to the background. We only realize that we have the Holy Ghost when we come for believers' meetings, when it's time to edify one another. That way you remember, I have the Holy Ghost. When it's time to rejoice, it's like, you remember that again that you have the Holy Ghost. But when you go back home and you are watching James Bond, or what's this? You are watching everything, you are now supporting and sharing Man U. It's almost easy to forget. Almost easy. Or when you are overcome with, when the doubt comes, or the fear sets in, or the challenges in conduct. Remember, all those challenges, we say the physical things that the believer needs to overcome. When those things come up, it's almost easy to forget that you have the greatest weapon of all. And that is why all of us have the Spirit equally. Nobody is with an excuse. Hey, it will just be funny. This God, maybe I'm just imagining if I was God, and then you're coming and you're saying, I couldn't do this, And when you are finished talking, one more, just one question. Did you have the Holy Ghost? What would be your answer? No. I did not have it as much as Hillary. Hillary had a full measure. Me, I had half cup. That would be some people's excuse them. Brethren, this year, you must consciously walk in the Spirit. You must utilize this gift of God to exercise full dominion. Not just in church. Speak to everyone here, including myself, for us to get the results that we desire. For us to be conscious of every time we are conscious of this, of our targets, of everything we need to do, we must allow the help of the Spirit. Actively. If there's anything you know, I can't overcome this, even with the help of the Spirit, just say it. So don't let the devil lie. Because if you say it, even as I'm sure as you are thinking about that, you want to say it, it will not even come out from your mouth again. You're like, I can't. That is why the Bible keeps saying Paul was so assured of the fact that we have the victory, because we all have the Holy Ghost. That is it. Every one of us. If there's nothing you take home from this message, please take this. I must maximize the Spirit this year for dominion in every area. Every area. To overcome addictions, to overcome challenges, I will maximize the Spirit. To understand scriptures, whatever it is, I will maximize the Spirit. I will. Because we do not have the spirit of fear. God, that's not what God gave us. The Holy Spirit is not the author of a timid and cowardly disposition. No. Once you see yourself being lied to that, in this one, that this, you know, you cannot just help it. You just have to smoke this cigarette just once in 2 weeks. Once you just see that, or that you need this particular drug to do this, once it just keeps coming, brethren, remind yourself that you have a divine ability in you, in the Holy Ghost. All right, so we'll see where this was typified in Exodus. Just flip to Exodus. I'm about to round up. Exodus. To gain the victory in physical things, we must recognize what we have spiritually and enforce it. Exodus 17. Read from verse 8. Exodus 17. Everybody on this row, you are not yet there. I'm waiting. Exodus 17. From verse 8. Okay. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. I want you to read your Bible. And he took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, the meaning of Jehovah Nissi there simply means the Lord our banner. I'm sure many of us know that. Was it in God's word and God's actions that Pastor was talking about those names that the men were giving God were the revelations that they had of him per time, right? So the Jehovah this was just partial revelations that each one had, but having a picture of who God really is. So what does it mean that say Jehovah banner, Jehovah, the Lord is our banner? I think I've said this a lot of times here. A banner is an emblem or a sign, or maybe you want to say a flag that you fight under or that announces a person's identity. Most times when you see people going to battle and then they are, once you just see them, the flag, whatever that is bearing, you see somebody in front, most times just bearing it, or somebody, you see those, I'm sure people have seen ancient movies, when you send a messenger to somebody and the person is with a horse with one signal, a flag on top, you just easily identify and say, okay, this is from so-so person. And then, of course, depending on how powerful the kingdom might be, that alone, having that on your, whatever, like a sticker, is enough to just grant you passage and nobody just dares touch you. You know, there are some armies in the world that, even Nigeria, soldiers feel like they are, you know, once they wear that uniform, when they meet policemen or people like that, they just like, there's a way that uniform just gives them one, like the way Kevin walks. That kind of, because they are projecting an image or an identity. Now we see two things happening here. We see physical battle going on and something else happening on top of the hill. But the success of the physical battle was based on what? What was happening up? That's just the summary of everything I've been trying to say. The success of the physical challenges we have, you're overcoming physically, is based on the fact of, or based on what has happened spiritually. And for us, we have a divine assurance because that battle spiritually has been fully won. So it's no longer based on Moses' own that his hand is tired or not. It is constant. The victory of Christ is our identity. That is the banner which we wage war under. That's what I'm trying to say, since the victory of Christ, what Christ has done, is the banner, is the identity, is the flag under which you wage war under. And so long as you are fighting under that banner, your victory is sure. Your victory is sure. Is certain. Is certain. And this hope is an anchor for our souls. That's in Hebrews 6. That we have an anchor that reaches within the veil, holding strong and steadfast, not wavering. Because we are sure of this divine or spiritual victory that we have, we know that every physical challenge can be surmounted. Every physical challenge. Every. I challenge you today, brethren. Every. Every physical challenge. Every. Can be surmounted by the man who understands this. The man that fully comprehends his identity and what has been done for him will overcome every physical challenge. Especially the ones that will stop you or attempt to stop you from doing what you are actually supposed to do in ministry. Every physical challenge. Every. So no excuses. There's no one to blame. We have an authority. We have an identity given to us under which we wage war. We have the Holy Ghost, so no one is without excuse. We have a divine assurance, so we reign. Can you give me the topic now? That's all good. I was trying to say since. Victory assured. Okay. Victory is sure. Okay. So whatever you want to call it, but that is all. That's the best I'm trying to pass across. We have physical things to do. Prayers. Tiredness and all the plenty things, time, bosses, employees, whatever. The wisdom for our days, the direction we need, we will receive it once we understand that it cannot defeat us. Cannot defeat us. Cannot defeat us. So don't start the year with excuses. Let's look forward to our targets with joy. Let's look forward to the things we need to do, the plans that we have. The things that have been spoken about us, let's look forward to them with joy, knowing that this is as bread before us. As bread. As bread. You know the word that came forward on time while we're praying, that there were stones, and then stones were picked up for persons to eat, and it looked difficult. Like, why will I be eating stone? But immediately they picked the stone and were chewing it, they realized it was bread. So things that looked, it would just look very difficult from physical, trying to analyze it physically. But when you look at it from the standpoint of what you have in Christ, the victory that you have, you can say, this is as bread before me. Bread. Bread. Hallelujah. Do we understand that now? Do we understand? So let's just stand up. We're going to give praise to God. Just thank God. Sing that song again. This hope is sure. It's an anchor for our souls. Oh, God will stand unshakable. If we still fear the challenges that the devil has to throw at us, it means we are saying that our God is not constant. It means we are saying that we cannot be sure of God's abilities. It means we are saying we are not certain if we'll receive help or not. No, but because we know that we have the Holy Ghost, that God is not taking away. If the Holy Ghost is not doing vanishing acts in your life, he's not doing disappearance, appear today and appear tomorrow, or disappear tomorrow. Because we know that the presence of the Holy Ghost is an ever constant, we can be assured the victory that we have in every area of our lives. So no addictions. Oh, I keep hearing that. No addictions. No addictions. No struggles with conduct. No addictions. No addictions. No. You are not a man that is strong externally and weak inside. No. No. No addictions. Nothing. 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 No oppression of the devil will stand. Whether in our families or in our personal lives. No attack stands. Nothing. Because we have a divine assurance that victory is ours. We have the Holy Ghost in us. Victory is ours. Victory is sure. Victory is certain. We are not the ones that fight as the one that beats the air. Saying whether we get victory or not, okay, anyone that comes today. No, we do not look forward to the days. We don't look forward to our days and say, let's just go anywhere belay face. Or if it happens, it happens. No, we are not such men. We go out with an assurance of victory. When we go out to do ministry, when we go out to get men saved, we go out with that assurance of victory. 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 Victory, victory, victory. That God has given Christ a name that is above every other name. That in that name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that, yes, this is Lord. Because he's the head of all principalities. In him all fullness dwells. Oh, in him all fullness dwells. All fullness dwells. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. We are complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It is not a half of us that is inside. No, we are complete in him. We are complete in him. We exercise that victory. We exercise that strength that we have. We are strengthened by his spirit in our inner man. So from that strength that we have, we execute the physical challenges that we have to face. We can. We are not men given to struggles. We refuse the dominion of the devil this year. Remember, there is no middle ground. There's no, I am just relaxing and chilling in Christ. No, we refuse to allow the devil gain dominion over us, whether passively or actively. We give no place to him. We do not cede any ground. We do not cede any ground. No challenges this year. No challenges. No challenges. We'll live a victorious life, a victorious Christian walk, a victorious Christian walk. Oh, glory to God. Lies, 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 lies. No, no, no. There's no person that say I cannot help it but lie. No, 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 no. We are not deceitful men in our conduct. No, 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 no. We are not the ones that will look for physical ways or try to use our fleshly wisdom to get ahead. No, we rely on the abilities of the Spirit in every area. Every area, every area, every area, every area, every area, every area. There's no yoke of lying. I just have to lie. No, that yoke is gone. Overwhelming victory is yours. Is yours. Is yours. We refuse that lie of the devil that says we cannot be better in our conduct. We refuse it. We refuse it. We refuse it. We refuse it. We refuse that lie that says we cannot be better in our conduct. We can be better. And we will be better. Our lives will fully manifest and express the dominion and victory that we have in Christ. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. We've been made victorious, overcomers in this world. We've been made more than conquerors through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's an old song. Can't remember that song. All right, let's sing that. We've been made victorious, overcomers in this world. Overcomers in this world. We've been made more than conquerors. We've been made more than conquerors through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more time. We've been made victorious. Glory to God.
We've been made victorious. Overcomers. Overcomers in this world.
We've been made more than conquerors.
We've been made more than conquerors.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, that is our testimony.
And there is hope in the offering of the Son. You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an
God stands unshakable. We too will stand unshakable, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, we give no ground. We give no ground. We give no ground. There is no addiction here. There's no slave to sin here. No, 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 no. Physical challenges will not crumble us. Physical challenges do not come on.
Unshakable. Oh. Unshakable.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we victorious, men?
Yes.
Are we victorious, men?
Yes.
You see why we rejoice in the victory that we have in Christ? Because there are the things that when you realize that, through what Christ has done, I can handle physical situations and challenges like bread. It is enough to rejoice. I was telling someone last night, most times why we have people that face so many challenges, it's just because they don't understand what we fully have, and then you don't rejoice in it. So are we victorious men?
Yes.
Are we strong men?
Yes.
Are we victorious?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Oh, we are strong men. We are strong. We are strong. We are strong. We are strong. No feeble one. No feeble. No feeble. No feeble one. All right, greet someone. Everybody, you're not seeing this. Happy New Year. And then just in 5 minutes, we'll start service again.